Dr. Seth Moore is Director of Biology and Environment with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa. The Grand Portage Band engages in fisheries and wildlife research projects throughout the year, and Dr. Moore joins us now in the studio to talk a little bit about some of the band's current and ongoing projects. Welcome, Seth. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Kara. Today I'm going to talk a little bit about mercury levels in Lake Superior and how electricity, our carbon footprint, and mercury are related to each other. And then ultimately, hopefully, I can tie that back into fish. Mm-hmm. Maybe I'll start with some background on mercury and on fish mercury issues. I touched on this a little bit in an August interview with you, and I thought I would look at it in a little bit more depth today. But mercury is particularly harmful to people and to developing brains. So young people especially are subject to mercury toxicity. And most of the Midwestern U.S. states have fish mercury advisories, partly due to natural mercury levels in fish coming from our surface geology. And then some of it's coming from atmospheric mercury deposition from pollution. Mm-hmm. And so fish are the most susceptible top predators in the aquatic world, because the mercury accumulates in body tissues, and so the higher an organism is on the food chain, the more accumulation of mercury occurs in that animal. Most of the Midwestern states have fish consumption advisories. We have them in place for Grand Portage. For lake trout over 32 inches, I think we recommend one meal or less per month. And then we also have different advisories in place for pregnant women and for children. And we're doing some work on that right now. Just this week, I have a meeting in Duluth, but we're, in addition to that, we're going to be bringing some fish samples down to be tested for mercury. And so we're going to try to update our fish mercury database and then try to get a good understanding of what type of recommendations we need to have in place on the reservation in terms of fish consumption advisories.
Okay.
And so, like I mentioned before, it naturally occurs in the environment, but it can be released also through some human activities. And what scientists in the environmental field know is that mercury is increasing in the environment at a fairly rapid rate. The largest sources of mercury emissions in the U.S. and worldwide are coal-fired power plants. And then in addition to that, there are waste incinerators burning garbage that release mercury, and then mining operations like gold mining that also put mercury into the atmosphere. So because coal-powered power plants are the primary source of mercury pollution, reducing electricity by all of us can really help to prevent mercury from getting into the atmosphere, into our fish, and into our own bodies.
The EPA just issued the first national standards for pollution from power plants, and that was, I think, just last month that they did that. And, you know, there's some pretty interesting health effects that they're saying are going to result from the new safeguards, including will prevent as many as 11,000 premature deaths, 4,700 heart attacks a year, and prevent 130,000 cases of childhood asthma and about 6,300 fewer cases of acute bronchitis among children every year. This is a pretty important thing that the EPA has just done as far as mercury.
Yeah, and that's one of the critical roles of the Environmental Protection Agency, is to really try to protect human health by making regulations that are enforceable and holding these larger industries accountable for what they're putting into our environment. That's really good to hear that these regulations are in place, and hopefully they'll be adhered to by the industry.
To give the industry some credit, about half the coal-fired power plants in the United States already have implemented these changes.
Yeah, that's nice. And I think that because our public is becoming more and more aware of environmental issues, pollutants, what those effects are on developing humans and on our food supplies, I think that we're going to see some progress in this area in the next couple of decades.
All right. We're talking with Dr. Seth Moore. He's a wildlife biologist with the Grand Portage Band of Lake Superior, Chippewa, and he joins us regularly to talk about the band's current and ongoing natural resource projects. I want to end, like we always do here, with a piece of trivia from your daughter. Do you have anything for us today?
Yeah, actually, it's funny. She wrote a few down on a piece of paper that I left at home, so I actually had to call her at school today to get the trivia bit, and pulled her out of class, and she went to the principal's office. And from that phone call, I learned that kangaroos can't walk backwards.
Can they hop backwards?
I don't know the answer to that one.
That's great. Well, thank you to Hannah. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks a lot, Kara.
All right.